Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Abraham, Dorit Bat Sara, and Shifra Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Harab Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We're going to be discussing the upcoming elections in Israel, because there's a lot of news coming out of those elections. The elections for the Israeli parliament, which is called the Knesset, and the Knesset elections will be held on April 9th. The parties that are running filed their final lists, so we know now who's running with whom. We know exactly which parties are running and who's running with whom. And really, we're going to discuss how the situation proves once again that Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party are the only honest people running. Now, let me explain something. In Israel, you don't vote for the individual, you vote for the party. And it would be like in the United States, if you had to vote Democrat or Republican, you vote for the party, you don't vote for individuals. The names of individuals are not listed, only the party is listed. And then each party has a list of people that they will place in the Knesset. And if the party gets 4 seats, then the first 4 people on the list get in. If they get 10 seats, then the first 10 people on the list get in, and so on. If they don't get at least 4 seats, they don't pass the threshold. There are 120 seats altogether, and you've got to get at least 4 seats. You have to win at least 4 seats. It's based on proportional representation, which means you need 3.25% of the vote, 3.25% of the vote, and that gives you 4 seats. If you get below 3.25% of the vote, you do not get Knesset representation. All of your votes are not counted for Knesset representation. And if you get more than 3.25%, depending on how much you get, you get more than 4 seats. So that's how it works. And the various parties had a deadline this past Thursday. They had to file their lists, and so they did. And so deals were made. And Bibi Netanyahu, the so-called Prime Minister of Israel, was deeply involved in getting the pseudo-Kahanists of Otzma Yehudit, this party called Otzma Yehudit, which is running. He got them to join up with the so-called Jewish Home Party. I mean, it was just, I think it was a travesty. The whole thing was just atrocious. But we're going to explain to you the differences and what these parties really stand for. Otzma claim to be the heirs to the legacy of our great leader, our beloved Rabbi Meir Kahana, Zecher Tzaddik V'Gadosh Livracha, Hashem Yikom Damo. But they're not. They're just politicians and opportunists who don't really have any principles, who just want to win a Knesset seat. I'm not saying they're terrible people, but they're not really honest people, and they don't really have principles. And we're going to explain why, and we're going to explain some of the problems with their party and whom they're running with. But first, I want to show you a commercial that we did in English. And when I say commercial, we're not paying. In English, we don't advertise commercials in English, so this is not going to be an advertised commercial. And so it's not going to get a lot of views. But this is just an English version of the type of commercials that we have been running in Israel in Hebrew, because we've run about 15 different commercials in Hebrew and English since the summer. We've gotten over 600,000 views from Israeli Jewish voters. And we're promoting the Zehut Party. And so I decided, let me do an English language version of the commercials that we're running in Hebrew so that our English language people can see what we're running. It's good for the English language people, like our great JTFers, to see, even ones in the United States, to see exactly what we're doing translated into English. In addition to that, we're running it on, we put it up on YouTube because there are 250,000 voters in Israel whose first language, their mother language, is English. They're Jews that immigrated to Israel from the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, England, South Africa. These Jews are English-speaking Jews primarily. And so we want to reach them as well. We need, by the way, about 150,000 votes. Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party have to capture about 150,000 votes in order to pass the threshold. And here you got 250,000 English-speaking voters, so why not try to get some votes from them as well? So I want to show you this, and this is just a sample of the arguments that we present to the people of Israel. This is a sample of the type of commercials we've done. We've done 15 so far. And this particular commercial deals with the issue of encouraging the Arabs to leave with compensation, something which polls show that about 50% of Israeli Jews support. 50% of Israeli Jews would support a program to encourage the Arabs to leave Israel with compensation. And we discuss which party actually stands for that position, which is very popular on the Israeli right. Watch the commercial. I'm Chaim Ben Pesach from the Jewish Task Force, JTF. Did you know that polls taken by the Arabs themselves show that the vast majority of Arabs in the land of Israel want to leave, want to immigrate to other countries? Only one party running in Israel's upcoming Knesset elections proposes a plan that will encourage the Arabs to leave Israel in exchange for compensation. Which party is that? Is it the Jewish Home Party that's running now with Otzma? No. That party not only doesn't propose a plan to encourage the Arabs to leave, when they were in the Israeli government, they proposed increasing the amount of money given to Arabs in the Galil, in the Galilee, and in the Negev, and in other parts of the land of Israel. If you increase the benefits to the Arabs, you're discouraging the Arabs from wanting to leave Israel. And that's what the Jewish Home Party of Rafi Peretz has proposed when it was in the government and will propose again, and that's their platform. The Likud government of Benjamin Netanyahu has drastically increased all types of assistance to the Arabs, giving them free electricity, free food, free medicine, billions of dollars in assistance to encourage them to stay and to encourage them to breed and have more children. That's the Likud. The only party in Israel that proposes a realistic plan to encourage the Arabs to leave with compensation is the Zehut Party of Moshe Feiglin. Want to find out more? The link to our website is below. Okay, so you see the way we present ourselves, and this would appear before a video that someone would want to see, and this is how we present ourselves in our advertising. And again, over 600,000 Israeli Jews have seen the Hebrew version of this, but it's not just on this issue. This is one out of 15 commercials. We have 15 different issues that we cover. We cover illegal aliens in Israel, which the vast majority of Jews in Israel would like to see them expelled from Israel. We cover that issue. We cover numerous issues. We cover the economy, because our party, the Zehut party, when I say our party, we're running an independent campaign for Zehut, but the party we support, Zehut and Feiglin, their party is the only party that favors the free market. All the other parties are socialist in Israel. All the other parties. So we've run commercials explaining all of these positions, so we just wanted to give you an idea what the commercials look like. Now, what happened this week? Otzma decided to run with the so-called Jewish Home Party. Who is the Jewish Home Party? We discussed this on last week's program. Rafi Peretz is the head of the so-called Jewish Home Party. He's the chairman of the so-called Jewish Home Party, which is the old Maftal and the old Mizrahi. They were once called Mizrahi, then they were called Maftal in Hebrew. What is this party? This is the party that over 100 years ago supported Herzl's proposal, Theodore Herzl's proposal, to have a Jewish homeland in Uganda, to forget about the land of Israel and accept the British proposal to have the Jewish homeland in the jungles of Uganda and in the jungles of Africa, and forget about the Holy Land, in complete violation of the Torah and the Bible. And these so-called religious Jews were willing to accept that proposal and have a Jewish homeland in Uganda instead of in Eretz Yisrael. That's the type of sellouts they are. By the way, non-religious Jews from Russia vetoed that proposal and stopped it from passing in the Zionist Congress in 1897. Non-religious Jews from Russia stopped that proposal. They said, no way, if we're going to go back, and they weren't even religious, but they said, if we're going to go somewhere, we're going to our historic homeland, which is in the land of Israel. We're not going to Uganda. But they, these so-called religious Jews, were willing to accept the proposal to give up on the land of Israel and move to Uganda. And ever since then, they have been such sellouts. Now, they run as right-wingers in the election. They pretend to be right-wingers and defenders of the settlers and defenders of the land of Israel and supporters of traditional Jewish values. That's what they pretend to do when they run in the election, but they always sell out when they get into office. This is a party. This is a party, and I could do a 10-hour show on this party easily. This is a party that sat in David Ben-Gurion's government when they kidnapped 10,000 Jewish babies from Yemen. Yemenite Jewish babies were kidnapped from their mothers. Their mothers were told, the mothers went to the hospital, they were told, your baby died. And the baby didn't die. They kidnapped the baby and put the baby in a left-wing anti-religious kibbutz or sold the babies on the market. 10,000 Jewish babies were kidnapped, stolen from their families. This is a fact of history. In Israel, under the Ben-Gurion government. And the Maftal were partners in the Ben-Gurion government. They were part of the Ben-Gurion government. They didn't quit the government when they saw things like this happening. When they saw the Sephardic Jews, who were half of the Jewish population of Israel, who came and they were almost all religious, the vast majority of them were religious. And their children, they were promised their children would go to religious schools, and instead they lied and sent their children to anti-religious schools to brainwash their children, and they convinced their children not to be religious anymore. We would have had a religious Jewish state, a Torah true state. It would have been like paradise if not for what Ben-Gurion and these criminals did. And the Maftal, the so-called religious party, were part of Ben-Gurion's government. They went along with all this. They were his collaborators when all of this happened. So this is an evil, horrible party of self-hating traitors, the worst. And this is the Maftal that supported the surrender of the Sinai when Menachem Begin and the Likud gave away the whole Sinai to Egypt. Insane, an insane action. And this is the Maftal that stayed in the Sharon government to the very end with Gush Katif until Sharon threw them out. Sharon finally threw them out of the government, because they were criticizing the Gush Katif retreat, but they didn't want to leave the government. They wanted to stay in the government. They refused to leave. Sharon finally threw them out. They were holding on to their seats in the government. They didn't want to bring down Sharon's government. They didn't want to leave. They were holding on to those seats. They wanted to stay ministers. And then even while Sharon was on the verge, was like a week or two before he was ready to throw 10,000 Jews out of their homes in Gush Katif and hand over Gaza to the Hamas terrorists, which has now led to hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens coming through Gaza and invading cities in Israel, and thousands of rockets being fired all over southern Israel. That's what Sharon and the Likud did. The Likud, who claim to be a right-wing government, right-wing party, they always have left-wing policies in the end. They are worse than the left in the end. The phony right is worse than the left, because they could do things that the Israeli population, will accept that the left could never get away with. Because if the left tried to do it, if the left-wing government, openly left-wing government tries to do it, everyone in Israel's up in arms. What are you doing? This is suicidal. This is crazy. But when Arik Sharon, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, proposes it, or when Netanyahu or some other so-called right-wing, phony right prime minister proposes it, they say, well, most Israelis are dumb enough to say, oh, it can't be that bad. After all, if it was that bad, would the Likud be supporting it? And the Maftal, they were partners in all of these crimes that have been committed against the land of Israel and the Jewish people over the years. Now, Otzma made a deal with them to join their party. They're running together now. Michael Ben-Ari from Otzma is going to run as number 5 on the list. So if they get at least 5 seats, which the polls now show they are going to get, most of the polls show they're going to get 5 seats, Michael Ben-Ari will be in the Knesset, and he not only pretends to be right-wing, he pretends to be a Kahanist. And he's running with this scum? Rafi Peretz, who hugged the soldiers that came to expel the Jews from Gush Katif, who hugged and danced with the soldiers, was dancing with them while they were expelling the Jews from Gush Katif to show how much he supported the soldiers who came to expel the Jews from Gush Katif, who convinced thousands of religious soldiers to obey orders to throw the Jews out of their homes and drag the Jews out of their homes. Now, what if tens of thousands of religious soldiers had refused to obey orders, it would have been a big blow. It would have been much harder to carry out the expulsion from Gush Katif, and it's very possible that that alone would have been enough to stop the expulsion from Gush Katif. It's possible. That would have created a real crisis. Instead, Rafi Peretz from the Jewish Home Party, when he was the so-called rabbi and the so-called head of a yeshiva, he convinced people, he convinced these soldiers to obey orders. He said, we must obey orders, even if you disagree with the orders, even if the orders are illegal, even if the orders are harmful to the Jewish people, you must obey orders. He is the worst thing you can have, the worst serpent you can have in Israel. The worst. He's worse than the left. He's worse than the worst traitors are not as bad as him, as someone who marches around pretending to be a rabbi and convincing people to expel Jews and dancing with people who expel Jews and supporting every single surrender government that comes along. The worst. And Otzma is running with him. They're so anxious to get in the Knesset, they're running with him, Otzma, who call themselves Kahanists. Okay, if you want to know the people in Otzma, people like Michael Ben-Ari, Itamar Ben-Gevir, Baruch Marzel, all of them, for a seat in the Knesset, what they won't do for a seat in the Knesset. What a disgrace. And now, there's a big uproar in Israel. Because AIPAC and all the Jewish organizations in America are condemning Netanyahu for pushing. Netanyahu pushed for the deal to bring Otzma and the Jewish Home Party together. Netanyahu wanted to bring them. Netanyahu wants these pseudo-Kahanists in the Knesset. Now, you know, if they were real Kahanists, and that they would have, of course, they would oppose Netanyahu's policies. He's freezing Jewish building in Judea and Samaria. He's doing nothing about Iran building nuclear bombs and Iran being on Israel's northern border. He's doing nothing, absolutely nothing, to expel the hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens from Africa and other places that came into Israel and are invading Israeli cities. And most of them came while he was prime minister. Otzma will loyally support him like, well, they're saying, we have to make sure that Netanyahu and the Likud win. That's a right-wing government. We don't want a left-wing government. That's a right-wing government? Only Moshe Feiglin and Zehut were honest. Moshe Feiglin joined the Likud to take over the Likud and change it. He was not loyal to the Likud. He was loyal to the Torah and to Jewish principles. He joined the Likud to take over the Likud and change it. And he was elected to the Knesset on the Likud list. But he never, never went along with their policies. And when Netanyahu agreed to free over 1,000 convicted Arab, Muslim, Nazi, terrorist, mass murderers from prison. Over 1,000 Arab terrorist murderers were freed from prison in one of Netanyahu's many prisoner releases. Moshe Feiglin, who was a member of the Likud, voted to bring down his own party and his own government, voted against Netanyahu's budget, which in Israel can bring down the government. You don't have elections every 4 years in Israel. The government can fall in Israel if you lose your majority in the Knesset. And Feiglin said, I'm going to vote to bring down this government now, when Netanyahu freed over 1,000 Muslim terrorist mass murderers. Feiglin was the one honest guy, and he tried to get the other people to go along. He tried to get the Jewish Home Party people to go along. Are you kidding? They wouldn't even consider it. They voted and supported Netanyahu when he threw the Jews out of Amona and expelled them and destroyed Amona. Hundreds of Jews thrown out of their homes by Netanyahu's government. They supported, the Jewish Home Party supported Netanyahu when he destroyed the Ulpana neighborhood in Beit El. Hundreds of Jews thrown out of their homes. Homes destroyed. And just horrible, evil policies of this monster Netanyahu. Something he would never do, that he doesn't do to Arabs. He doesn't do to Arabs, even though he has court orders to destroy a legal Arab building. But he won't touch the illegal Arab village, he won't touch, he won't destroy. And the Jewish Home Party stays with him in the government and votes to support him and says, we must have Netanyahu, we have to keep him in power. And Otzma says, we must have the right-wing government. They call him right-wing. They claim Netanyahu is right-wing government. They claim he's a nationalist government. Hagush HaLeumi, Gush HaYamin, that means the right-wing bloc, the nationalist bloc. This is the language that Otzma, who pretend to be Kahanists, use. Rabbi Kahana would have called somebody who freezes all Jewish building in Judea and Samaria right-wing and would have propped him up and said, we have to make sure he gets elected again. Rabbi Kahana would have approved of a government that expels Jews. Moshe Feiglin said, if you throw even one Jew out while I'm in the Knesset, I will vote to bring your government down. I will never support any government that even tries to throw even one Jew out of their home. That's it. I'm against you if you do that. Now, Moshe Feiglin is not perfect. And yes, he supports the legalization of marijuana, for instance, which we disagree with. So he's not perfect. And he takes other positions that we don't agree with. But on 80% of the issues, we agree with him. And he takes stands that are courageous and that are necessary for Israel. And so he would be a breath of fresh air. He would be a good beginning in Israel. Of course, eventually we'd want to have real Kahanists in that. We'd want to have real Kahanists in the Knesset eventually. And by the way, if Moshe Feiglin never got powerful enough, he would change the Supreme Court, change the rules in Israel, and Kahanis would be allowed to run. So he could open the door for us if he ever got powerful enough. But in the meantime, we need his voice of sanity in the Knesset. We need his voice telling the truth, because no one else is doing that, including the so-called Kahanists. Now, something else happened in the past 24 hours or 48 hours. AIPAC, the so-called pro-Israel lobby. Pro-Israel lobby. Yimach shmam v'zichram shem reshaim yirkav. May their names and memories be obliterated, these traitors, these Judenrat kapos. These are the AIPAC traitors who told us Barack Hussein Obama was the best friend Israel ever had and invited him and cheered him and gave him standing ovations when he would come to their conferences. This is the AIPAC that supported Yasser Arafat and the PLO terrorists and supported the Oslo agreements with Arafat and the terrorists. This is the AIPAC that has supported every left-wing disastrous policy. But they suddenly, now they condemned an Israeli prime minister and condemned Netanyahu for the first time in the past 24 hours, from the left, of course. They condemned Netanyahu because he arranged this unity between Otzma, the so-called Kahanists, and the Jewish Home Party. Now, the Otzma are a bluff. They're not real Kahanists. It's all a bluff. It's all smoke and mirrors. But even that is too much for AIPAC, for the traitors of AIPAC. And I want you so-called religious Jews, you pathetic creatures who wear kippot on your head. Kippot is this, skull caps on your head. Claim to be religious Jews and you join AIPAC. You should be ashamed of yourselves. You're a disgrace to the Jewish people. You join that traitor organization. That's an organization of pigs who have sold Israel out over and over again, who openly say, the first thing you see in their platform is we're fighting for a two-state solution. They want to create a so-called Palestinian state, even though there is no Palestine, there are no Palestinians. It's all historical lie. And it would be national suicide for Israel, but this is what AIPAC pushes for, and this is what AIPAC supports. And you're part of an organization that pushes for that? Well, but it's essential, otherwise we won't get foreign aid to Israel from the United States. The so-called foreign aid is a catastrophe for Israel. A catastrophe, the best thing you could do, the best favor. All the anti-Semites who say, stop foreign aid to Israel, this would be the biggest favor you could do for Israel if you cut off the foreign aid. It causes unnecessary dependence on America's economy and on America's military. Israel could easily build a powerhouse military industry, not only for herself, but would earn tens of billions of dollars in selling military equipment all over the world with Jewish brain power in Israel. Who do you think builds most of the sophisticated military equipment in the United States? Who do you think discovered, or I mean, who built America's nuclear bombs and who gave America all the military supremacy? All Jewish brains, or the vast majority were Jewish brains. The Manhattan Project, you had like 40 scientists there, and 36 or 37 out of the 40 scientists were Jews. In Israel, because of Jewish brain power, if you didn't have a socialist economy, if you didn't have so-called foreign aid, that chains and enslaves Israel and makes Israel like a drug addict waiting for their fix. If you had an independent Israel that didn't have this, that didn't have their hands tied by so-called, by the rules of so-called foreign aid from the United States, if you had an independent Israel, Israel would be an economic and technological powerhouse. Jewish scientists could invent cures for all types of diseases. Jewish technology would create all types of new discoveries that would make this a whole new world. You realize what Jewish brain power is capable of doing? But it's held, but they're held back because you have a socialist economy and because Israel remains dependent on foreign aid, and the United States vetoes Israeli arms sales to other countries, saying, you can't do this. No, you get foreign aid from us, we've got to be able to, the United States has the right to approve and disapprove under this agreement all of Israel's arms sales. If Israel has even a screw or a nail from the United States in one of its military creations, the United States can veto the arms sale. This is crazy. Israel makes the best tanks in the world. Israel could make the best aircraft in the world. Not on a massive scale because the country's too small and the economy's too small, but they don't need to do it on a massive scale. They have the technological edge that they need to be much stronger and much richer and much more prosperous in every way, and to also become truly independent country if they didn't get so-called foreign aid. AIPAC's existence is a catastrophe for Israel. The best thing you could do is to eliminate that evil organization, AIPAC, that organization of self-hating serpents, of Judenrat Kapo serpents. And so they're condemning, and now that's the big news, they're condemning Netanyahu because he said that Otzma should be part of the agreement with the Jewish Home Party, and just all a farce. It's all a farce because Otzma are not real Kahanists. But AIPAC and the American Jewish Committee and the American Jewish Congress and all these other organizations that allowed 6 million Jews to be murdered during the Holocaust, the American Jewish Committee, the American Jewish Congress, the Anti-Defamation League, B'nai B'rith, the UJA, the Federation, all of these organizations not only did nothing to save 6 million Jews during the Holocaust, they did everything they could to sabotage rescue efforts when Ben Hecht and Peter Berkson and the one Jewish group of right-wing Jews was working. There was a right-wing group of Jews that was working to rescue the Jews during the Holocaust. Their efforts were all sabotaged repeatedly by this Jewish establishment, by these left-wing, self-hating, assimilated, intermarried, scum of the earth, human sewage creatures in the Jewish establishment. And that's what AIPAC represents. And if after hearing this you continue to be active in AIPAC, you are human sewage. And I don't care if it offends people. You're sewage if you're part of that organization. You know how much harm they've done to the Jewish people over the years, that filthy organization? And so many of their leaders then go on to be leaders of Peace Now and all these other left-wing organizations. There's no real difference between AIPAC and J Street and all the other left-wing groups, all the traitor organizations that are working to destroy Israel. There's no real difference between them. Not really. In the end, they all want Israel to go back to the pre-1967 suicide borders that are only 6 to 9 miles wide. Even Abba Ibn said that they're Auschwitz lines, those borders. That's what AIPAC wants. That's what AIPAC supports. That's the first thing you see in their platform. They're working for a two-state solution. Two-state solution means the destruction of Israel, God forbid. Now, if Netanyahu, after the Trump peace plan comes out, because the Trump peace plan is going to come out right after the Israeli election on April 9th, Netanyahu accepts it, God forbid, and if the Arab side accepts it, God forbid, we're in for a catastrophe here. The only party that you can trust to consistently oppose it in every way will be the Zehut party of Moshe Feiglin. And you know something? I don't even know if Moshe Feiglin's going to get in. The polls show that he's falling short. He needs 3.3 and a quarter percent. The polls show him getting about 2% now. So he's a little bit short. He's about one percent short of what he needs. And it's not easy. It's not easy to get 3.25% in a situation like this when the media is paying attention to everybody else and promoting everybody else, and everybody has tens of millions of dollars, and you're running with a campaign with a very limited budget. It's not easy. So I don't know if he's going to get in. I don't know what's going to happen. We're trying. It's an uphill battle, but we're trying. In any event, whether he gets in or not, God forbid that he doesn't get in, but whether he gets in or not, it is very important. It is very important that our message, that JTF's message, reach the Jews of Israel, because we're bringing them new ideas that they don't even think of. Because they're being presented with choices. They're being told, your only choice is what Netanyahu and the Likud are offering. That's the right. And what the left is offering. That's your only choice. That's the only choice. That's between one form of suicide and another form of suicide. This is what they're being brainwashed to believe. That's not true. Israel could pursue truly Jewish policies that would make Israel like Gan Eden, like a paradise. Israel could do that. And we would have a magnificent, strong, healthy, prosperous Jewish nation with Jewish values and Jewish education. All of that is doable, very doable. But we have no one has said that since Rabbi Kahana was murdered. Nobody's been standing for that. Now Moshe Feiglin, on 80% of the issues, is standing for the right thing. And so he deserves our support, and we're backing him up. We're running an independent campaign for him. We're not part of his official campaign, but we're backing him up. We're doing commercials for him. We're backing him up and running a big campaign to try to get him in. God willing, let's pray for our success. You know, in the end, the good guys are definitely going to win. Because God, the all-powerful ruler of the universe, he runs this show. But he wants us to earn, through justice and through truth, he wants us to earn our place in the next world. And he wants us to bring the next world with our own hands, to bring the next world into being. Because we'll get a greater reward then. If we don't do it that way, there's punishment, God forbid. And there are terrible consequences if we do things that are evil and immoral. Because God he's a God of love and mercy, yes, but he's also a God of justice. He can't stand immorality and lies and treason and backstabbing and informing and all the other terrible things that evil Jews do. He can't stand that type of behavior. And so it brings punishment, God forbid. And it puts off the redemption of the Jewish people. Be'ita or achishena, we're told. Be'ita means the redemption will come in its time. In other words, eventually it's going to come. Eventually God will redeem, because he promised our forefathers and he promised the good Jews who lived all these generations. Eventually the redemption is going to come one way or the other, whether the Jews deserve it or not. But far fewer Jews will be around to see it, and far fewer Jews will enjoy the fruits of the redemption. And there'll be terrible suffering, and it'll be put off way into the future. It'll be put off into the future if we don't do the right thing. I don't know about way into the future, but it'll be put off into the future. I mean, we're getting close to the 6,000-year mark, which we've discussed on other programs, which Chazal tell us is a form of a deadline, somewhat of a deadline. But still, that's a couple of hundred years from now, and terrible things can happen. So there can be terrible consequences if it's be'ita in its time. But if it's achishena, quickly, in other words, pushing it forward quickly, if it's achishena, it can come gloriously and magnificently without suffering. And we could have a glorious, magnificent world where God will be the king of the world. That day eventually will come. It definitely will come, one way or the other. We got to do everything we can to wake people up. so that truth and justice and righteousness and principles and honesty prevail. Yes, idealists are not suckers, are not fools. They're people who think we're suckers and fools. Ah, you're so idealistic. Yeah. We're not. No, the idealists are not suckers and fools. It's the other people who are not idealistic that are the suckers and fools. Someday you'll see that we're right. If we work together as a team, we can make this a better world. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.